Adams is a town of less than 9,000 people in the Berkshire Mountains of Massachusetts. It lacks the art galleries and museums that bring tourists to North Adams and the concentration of antique stores that bring shoppers to Sheffield and Great Barrington. Adams doesn't need all that. Instead, Adams is banking on the reemergence of a sport that's kept the town on the map for more than 80 years. In early 2015, Only a Game's Karen Given had our story.
I give them everything, my boots, my skis, everything. They got everything here.
93-year-old Stephen Nowicki skied the Thunderbolt when he was a kid. Now he waits, perched on a walker chair at the front of the Thunderbolt Ski Museum, a recently installed exhibit in the shadow of Mount Greylock.
Matter of fact, it's on my brand new shoes. I never wore them after. The war come and that was it.
Visitors can touch the sealskins Nowicki and his friends attach to the bottom of their skis to climb the mountain. And they can feel the dull edges on the thick wooden skis they use to come back down. A mannequin in the corner wears Nowicki's favorite sweater. Long before his body became stooped and frail, someone snapped a picture of him wearing it.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite.
In the fall of 1939, the Civilian Conservation Corps cut the Thunderbolt ski run into the eastern face of Mount Greylock, the highest peak in Massachusetts. The Class A racing trail was soon attracting city dwellers by the thousands.
The ski train has become an American institution, and winter play spots throughout the country are settings for the happy antics of weekend fugitives from the city pavement gang.
That's when the trains used to run here. Then the farmers would come with the sleighs and the horses and bring them up there. Oh, yeah. Oh, there'd be thousands of people. Every race, yep.
The Thunderbolt also attracted championship skiers, Olympians from places like Harvard and Yale. The speed records from that era still stand. As for the men Nowicki skied with.
Nope, pretty well gone now. I'm beating them all.
Many of Adams' young ski champions served in the 10th Mountain Division during World War II. Stephen Nowicki had always wanted to fly, so he piloted B-24 Liberators, a plane sometimes called the Flying Coffin. The championship skiers of the Thunderbolt might have been forgotten if not for high school biology teacher, amateur documentarian, and history buff Blair Mahar.
Mahar, M-A-H-A-R.
But Mahar says it wasn't World War II that spelled the end of the races on the Thunderbolt. It was a force far less menacing.
This is Sun Valley, fringed by the picturesque peaks of the Sawtooth Mountains.
In 1936, the world's first chairlifts were installed at Sun Valley in Idaho. Before long, ski resorts from Tahoe to the Alps offered an easier way to get to the top.
A maximum of downhill skiing with a minimum of effort.
You know, nobody wanted to walk up a mountain when you could ride up a mountain.
Mahar says of the four New England Class A trails cut by the CCC in the 1930s, the Thunderbolt is the only one that never became part of a major ski area. A proposal to build a tramway to the summit was defeated in 1941. Over the decades, all attempts to develop the Thunderbolt failed.
You take your run, no ski patrol, no lights, no groom trails, no safety net. You're on the mountain, and that's it.
The last major championship on the Thunderbolt was held in 1948. Nearly 60 years later, Mahar produced a documentary called Purple Mountain Majesty. By then, locals and backcountry enthusiasts were shushing down a trail overgrown by brambles and sticker bushes. The movie reminded the people of Adams of the town's great skiing history, and it made them sad to see the course in such disrepair. As the 75th anniversary of the first championship race on the Thunderbolt approached, locals decided to do something about it.
Really, the trail had grown in. Wasn't really anybody up there doing much. And then we began cutting it and kind of reclaiming it and, reclaiming that race.
I was born ready.
Blair Mahar and his friends didn't just bring back the Thunderbolt. They brought back the races. So on a bright, sunny Saturday that seemed much warmer than its 10-degree forecast, Stephen Nowicki has come to the base of the trail to send off a new generation of ski racers on the 80th anniversary Thunderbolt ski race.
If you look straight over here, Steve Nowicki.
Many of the 100 racers are wearing brightly colored spandex suits. Their skis and snowboards are designed with the latest technology. A small white drone hovers overhead, ready to take video of the mass start. It's an oddly modern scene for a bunch of racers getting ready to step back in time.
three, two, and off!
Today's race is being run randonnée style, also called ski mountaineering, skimo, and rando. Racers start at the bottom and are timed on both the uphill and the downhill. Today's course loops the Thunderbolt twice. The sport is big in Europe, but most American ski resorts frown on the practice. I'm not a skier, so I find an easier way to reach the top of Mount Greylock. Before long, racers start arriving at the summit in twos and threes. They rip off their climbing skins, made of nylon and mohair, not seal, and shove them inside their racing suits. Before they can even catch their breath, it's time to head back down.
Racer number 121, Patrick Rondo, just about to leave the summit.
Some people are, you know, sick of standing in a lift line, freezing their butt off on a ski lift when you can stay as warm as you want on the way up and hopefully go ski some nice soft snow.
That's Jeremy Arnold, the winner of today's race. It took him a little less than an hour to climb the nearly 2-mile trail and about 6 minutes to ski back down. In Stephen Nowicki's day, racers weren't timed on their way to the summit. They rested at the top and raced down one by one. Nowicki's best finish was just over 3 minutes. At Mount Greylock, skiing up is the way it's always been. And racer Bob Yates says no one here has forgotten that.
You have a lot of respect for people that came before you, you know, and skied back in the day before, you know, and pioneered it in big wooden skis. And, you know, these are just a cheating compared to what those guys were on. They were the real deal, you know. We're just running around in bright nylon, you know.
After the race, skiers and locals gather for Thunderfest, an event inspired by the return of racing to Adams. There's even a local brewery pouring pints of Thunderbolt IPA. Stephen Nowicki uses his walker to navigate a large patch of ice in front of the stage. He hands medals to the top finishers. The crowd cheers like he's a rock star.
Steve Nowicki!
After 4 decades of relative obscurity, the Thunderbolt is once again bringing visitors to Adams. Not by the thousands, at least not yet. But Mahar says the event is growing.
So nobody wanted to walk up a mountain to ski down, but people want to do that today.
Yeah, I think people want to walk up a mountain and ski back down today to get away from long lift lines and lift ticket prices that are going through the roof to come to the Thunderbolt. It's free. It truly is like going back in time. And I think people are seeking that out more and more.
Mount Greylock is a state reservation, and the Thunderbolt is now protected from development. The people of Adams say that's just the way they like it. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.